My little subtitle says, The Beast and the False Prophet. But then we're going to talk a little bit about the mark as well. So as we enter into chapter 13, we're going to delve into actual events of the last days. Okay, and chapter 13, I think, serves as a great warning for the believers. Okay, so much of that we got when we studied the churches in the beginning. It was kind of like, here's what the church is supposed to look like kind of thing, and there were warnings. But this one is going to be the warning about the beast and his mark, okay, that will not only keep you from being able to buy and sell. That's what I hear. Oh, yeah, don't get the mark of the beast. You won't be able to buy or sell. Okay, that's a big deal. Not being able to buy or sell might make life a little harder. But the bigger deal is that the mark of the beast marks you for the beast. Okay, it means you've stepped across and said, I'm going to walk away from my faith in Jesus and take the mark of the beast so that I may continue to buy and sell and live in this world's economy. Okay, so it is a bigger deal, that mark is, than just not being able to buy or sell. Okay, it is actually a stamp of ownership by Satan. Okay, you can think of it that way. So I read a note by a Bible scholar that described the mark of the beast as being more than just a technological advice, a device, okay, not advice, a technological device. Okay, you know, we think of something like an implant. If you Google mark of the beast, you know what you'll get? You'll get a whole bunch of pictures in these laboratories of these little tiny things about the size of a grain of rice. Okay, and that's what people are saying, this could be the mark of the beast. I saw some that showed a barcode, and you know how you can interpret a barcode has a 6, 6 and a 6 on it. Or somebody even had a social security number and showed how those could have been the mark of the beast. So for centuries, people have been trying to figure out what that mark is and if it is a technological device or not. Okay, but they're saying that it's going to be, you know, it could be something like that, but more than likely it's more than that. Something that would be implanted into your hand or your forehead. But at the same time, the scholars are suggesting that the mark of the beast is probably not going to be something that you have to worry about taking by accident. It would be an intentional, I'm going to do this, I'm making a decision. Okay, the thought is that the mark of the beast will represent such an epic, blatant, evil event, you know, or choice, okay, that a devout Christian is not going to have any fear of taking that mark without knowing it. You're going to be able to see it's just pure evil, no way, I'm not doing it. Many scholars believe that it will be a matter of life and death, okay, which would make it fairly easy to recognize. Okay, you take this or you die, okay. And that would be, okay, I understand where we're coming from, and you could say no. I personally, okay, a little of my own opinion, I am not as convinced that it is going to be that obvious to the casual Christian, okay, because there's a lot of casual Christians, kind of mediocre, kind of lukewarmers, kind of one foot in, one foot out, kind of riding the fence kind of Christians. I think it's going to be worldwide. It's going to be something that is going to affect all the earth at one time. Okay, so that is going to be obvious. Okay, but it is going to be forced upon people by an economic, okay, money, economic, and religious pressure that is going to be very difficult for most people to resist. Okay, and so that pressure is what I feel like, okay, gosh, I'm called shepherd, pastor. Okay, I need to help get people ready for this because I don't want to be deceived. Okay, if the last year, okay, the last year and a half has taught us anything, it has taught us that the entire planet can be affected at one time and that people can easily be influenced by a spirit of fear to give in to a dictatorial control. Okay, we've just yielded to it. Okay, because of what I wrote as continual exaggerated and propagated fear, okay, of COVID-19, virtually every person on earth has been presented with a personal decision to mask or not to mask, okay, to get vaccinated or be an anti-vaxxer, okay? And although it may not have affected every person in the exact same way, to a certain extent, we've probably all found ourselves being able to shop at this store or not being able to shop at that store, okay? If you weren't into the mask thing, that you had to pick and choose because there's just places you couldn't go. I'm in it right now. There's a training coming up for the law enforcement stuff that I do, and I'm dreading it because they said COVID-19 restrictions will be in place, and I know what that means, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to sit there for 8 hours a day. And I know, anyway, so I'm being faced with that again. It is, again, I'll have to make a decision on what I'm going to do regarding that. Okay, now, universities, colleges, I heard a good report on this yesterday. Universities, colleges, some businesses all over the country are now implementing policies that dictate that you must show proof of vaccination in order to attend that school. Okay, and they've already got it in place for the fall, okay, that students will not be able to return. It was Berkeley and University of California and big schools. I mean, these aren't just little colleges. These were big name schools that if you don't have your proof of vaccination, you will not be able to attend in the fall. That's just a given. Okay, well, I'm bringing all this up about the coronavirus and kind of pointing out simply because it is one of the greatest trial runs for the potential mark of the beast that I have seen in my lifetime. Okay, now I'm sure that people that have lived 100 years, maybe they can think back and there's been some other stuff that kind of seems similar to it. But even those folks that I've come across say they've never seen anything happen so widespread, so fast, so easy for people just to yield to it and give in. Okay, now many of us, we know that the lies and the deception, the misinformation that has been presented throughout this whole pandemic and the vast number of Christians that have been willing to compromise their own conscience, including myself, okay, when we closed the church for those several weeks, the physical building itself was closed. We still continued with church. But even closing the doors of our physical church building for a few weeks saw myself in a position of compromise. I did not want to do that, but I did it. Okay, many of us have compromised what we knew was right, what we felt like God was wanting us to do in order to keep our jobs, in order to have income, okay, in order to be able to shop where we wanted, okay, in order to keep from being arrested, okay, or keep from having some serious confrontation, okay, we altered our own conscience. We changed our belief system for a moment, right? Okay, well, this whole thing has reaffirmed for me, hopefully it has for you, but it's reaffirmed my determination to be led by the Spirit of the living God, okay, and to not be influenced by the world system, because that's what I saw happen, and we compromised because the system, the policies, the things around us began to go in a direction that compromised my faith, and in order to stay in that, you know, we had to compromise a little bit. Well, I want to follow the true Spirit of the living God, be able to hear what He's saying, follow His instructions, listen to God, follow my God consciousness, okay, up to and including the life and death pressure, okay, that comes from the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the mark of the beast. Okay, those are all things that we're going to read about tonight. The Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, and his mark. Okay, so I guess as we're going through this, I want you to keep that in mind, how easily we gave in this last time, that this stuff is yet to come. But it's going to take us a little bit. Let's go through. I want to do the Revelation 13:1 is where we'll start. And it's John again saying, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Okay, so the beast rises up, John says, out of the abyss, or the bottomless pit, as it was called a couple chapters ago. He rises up to do Satan's bidding. Okay, now the fact that he rises up kind of alludes to or indicates that his source of power is coming from beneath. It's coming from the depths, okay, the depths of hell. Okay, and it is clearly not something that is from the God of heaven. We saw when, you know, the seals were opened that it was the wrath of God being poured out and, you know, stuff was happening. This is coming from beneath. This is not, you know, God is still in control. I'm going to remind you of that several times tonight. But that this is Satan's ideas, okay? This is what he has come up with. Okay, the seas are symbolic of the peoples or nations of the world from which the beast appears to rise up from. Okay, he's coming out of the people. He'd be one of us kind of thing. And stands over them, okay? It says he stands over them in sort of an intimidating demonstration of his control, okay? His power, like he lords it over them. Okay, John describes the beast as being kind of horrible to look at. It had 10 horns, okay, and 7 heads. Okay, you know, like bad movie, right? A 7-headed, 10-horned creature. Okay, and then it has 10 crowns on the horns. Okay, I have a picture of the beast. Is that the picture? Okay. So, and you can see the 10 horns, and if you look, there's the typical 3-pronged crowns, you know, on each of those horns. This is not exact, right? But it's just to kind of give you an idea that John says kind of had this look to it. And I'll read that definition to you, and you'll see why it has bear's paws and a leopard's body and, you know, the mouth of a lion and, you know, all these different things going on it. In the last chapter, we read about Satan, okay, or the dragon, and he was described as having 7 heads and 10 horns, but he had 7 crowns on his heads. Okay, the dragon has 7 crowns on his heads, 7 heads, but the beast has 10 crowns on his 10 horns. Okay, so whether it be on the head or on a horn makes a difference. Head means authority, horn means political power, okay, or lesser power. Okay, it probably represents the dragon's authority over the beast. Okay, so Satan is over the beast that just rose up out of the sea. Okay, we're going to see in a minute that the beast is clearly authorized and empowered by the dragon, okay, or by Satan. Okay, the 10 horns are thought to represent national leaders who follow or adhere to the ways of the beast. Okay, their crowns symbolize their authority, but they actually belong to the beast who belongs to Satan. Okay, so those 10 horns belong to the beast because they're on the beast's head, but the beast belongs to Satan. Okay, now this first beast that we're reading about here symbolizes the current and future reality of an anti-Christian government and an anti-Christian political power. Okay, the second beast that we're going to see rise up out of the land here in a little bit, in a few verses, is known as the false prophet. Okay, now it'll do a better job explaining beast versus false prophet later on in the book of Revelation, but in this chapter, it calls them both a beast. But we can tell by the descriptions, we can tell by the things that they do, that when John kind of retells it later on in the book, this was the false prophet, or the second one is the false prophet. Okay, that first beast is the anti-Christian government. The second beast will represent in political power. The second beast will be the false prophet, and he will represent more of an anti-Christian religion. Okay, so I'll jump ahead if I do that. So religion, philosophy, and ideology. Okay, that's what the second one is going to be, the false prophet. Together, okay, you've got the dragon, you've got the beast, and you've got the false prophet, okay, the demonic, satanic trinity. Okay, together they produce the ultimately deceptive and seductive anti-Christian secular society. Everything, the economic system, the world systems, all the things that are in play, the political powers are anti-Christian, and the religion is going to be anti-Christian. Okay, they're all working together to make this happen. Okay, now the dragon delegates his power. It's an impressive power, but it's limited. He delegates that limited power and authority to the beast and to the false prophet and to their followers in an attempt to deceive and discourage anyone from God's offer of redemption. Okay, pretty much at this point, it's going to come down to the mark. Okay, whether you take it or not is about the only chance that people have left of adhering to their faith in Jesus. Okay, now I just heard someone the other day that was stating that they think that the term cancel culture, okay, that is so popular right now in our culture, right? We hear about cancel culture. Okay, they think that that is actually misnamed. Okay, instead of cancel culture, they think it should be called the consequence culture. Meaning that if you do not agree with God, okay, or if you do not agree with, or God forbid, you speak out against the current demonic narrative, that you deserve to be punished. Okay, and that is that cancel culture. Somebody didn't speak right, they spoke on the wrong side of the issue. What do? They punish them by canceling them out, trying to kill their business, trying to, you know, economically and fame and all the things that seem to mean a lot to some people, they try to snuff that out. Okay, that's a punishment. It's a consequence for not believing or agreeing with that demonic narrative that they wanted you to believe. Okay, now that sort of extreme thinking is exactly what the beast and his followers are going to employ in the last days. Okay, that you need to agree or else. Okay, and that's where that comes from. It's rooted, it's very demonic what's happening in our country and around the world right now. Okay, now let's read a little bit more in Revelation 13, verse 2. It says that, and the beast which I saw, John says, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Okay, I think it's interesting that the body of the beast is described as a leopard. Okay, the leopard is the most common of all the large cats. You know, think of lions and leopards and tigers and, you know, those kinds of things. It is the most common of all the large cats, but it is not the biggest and most powerful. Okay, we know which one is, right? The lion. Okay, that title is better suited to the Lion of Judah. Okay, the King Jesus, right? It is more, better suited for him than it would be for a beast or this monster that we're reading about here. Now the leopard, put your spiritual ears on here for a minute. The leopard takes its victims by surprise from a silent ambush. Okay, kind of sneaky, in other words. It is known to conceal or camouflage itself where the prey is, okay, near the villages, near the watering holes, okay, near the wells, okay, and it silently waits for its prey. It patiently waits in one spot for long periods of time, just waiting to pounce on an unsuspecting victim. Okay, now the leopard is very fast, okay, they're very agile, they move around quickly, but yet they're very graceful in their movements. Hard to ascertain that you're about to be eaten by a leopard. Okay, it's often described as being a very suspicious and a very cunning animal. It is big enough and mean enough that it is ferocious and intimidating. Okay, with its natural camouflage, remember a leopard has spots, right? So it's kind of two different colors mixed together, random stuff. Okay, with its natural camouflage, it can hide very easily, blending into the place between the light and the shadows. Okay, now even in this room, we've got like a perfect example right here where the light is shining through that door and there are stripes almost, kind of things on the floor. Okay, well, picture something. Sorry, I stepped out of the picture here probably. But a leopard would be hiding. Yeah, there we go. We have it on the wall. So the leopard would hide in the place where the shadows and the light kind of come together, because it's a perfect blending ground. Okay, well, think of that in our spiritual realm, okay, of the demonic beast hanging out, hiding, waiting, lurking, going to pounce on somebody, but it's hiding in that little gray area, kind of right between light and darkness, right on the cusp of it, okay, where it can just wait to do what it needs to do. Okay, now the Israelites, if you go back and study the history of the leopard, they were around back then. It was common in their day, and they were terrified of the leopard because it continually ravaged their sheep and goats. Okay, now that tells me that the leopard will eat sheep or goats. Okay, remember Jesus said he's going to divide at the end, right? The angels are going to divide, angels on one, or sheep on one side, goats on the other. Okay, godly people, ungodly, okay, the wicked and the just. Okay, and so the leopard does not discriminate, and just like sheep, he will devour his other side too. He will devour the goats as well. Okay, he will eat or destroy either one. Okay, now moving on with the Antichrist, the believers, okay, we shouldn't get too caught up in trying to identify a person as the Antichrist just yet. Okay, this has been done with many world leaders going all the way back to the first century. Those guys in John's day, if you mention the Antichrist, first thing that came to mind was one of the Caesars, okay, because that's who, they just saw them being mean and vicious towards Christians, and, you know, they just summed up what they thought the Antichrist was. Okay, in As time went on, of course, we had Nero, okay, we had Hitler, okay, Stalin, okay, some of these names ring a bell you might have heard of before. Okay, they were ones that they just thought for sure that Stalin was Hitler, that, well, he was the Antichrist. Okay, even in more recent times, Barack Obama and even a more recent Donald Trump has been coined in that phrase of being the ultimate title of the Antichrist. Okay, someone that was charismatic, somebody that got people to follow them, somebody that, you know, came against, whatever. It depends on where you're at in your political walk, but those two have both been considered for that title of the Antichrist. Okay, we know the one thing that we can know for sure is that God's timing is perfect. Okay, he's never early, never late. He said that things will be revealed in their time. They were asking, when, Lord? When are these things going to happen? And then he went on and told about a gazillion things that were going to happen. So there's things that we can look at to know. But when the Antichrist is fully revealed, okay, God's going to know, and God is going to still be in control at that point. Okay, he has never relinquished that. Now the dragon, Satan, gave the beast that we're studying about tonight, the Antichrist, his own power. Okay, Satan gave him his own power and his throne and great authority. Okay, now it's not really a coincidence that those same words were used to describe in some of the songs that the saints in heaven were singing unto God. Okay, they were singing about his great authority and his throne and all these things. They were using that same language, the believers, the saints were. And now Satan is using that as he delegates his authority and what I say, his power, his throne, and great authority. Okay, so as Satan is using that same language as he gives these things to the beast. Okay, now Satan has often mimicked God. Okay, we call him the counterfeit, right? He loves to, you know, try to come up with something that looks similar. He has given his beast his power, his throne, and authority. So as the dragon was in opposition to God, okay, Satan against God kind of thing, so the beast from the sea, the Antichrist, is against Jesus Christ, and he is considered to be Satan's false Messiah. Okay, so if you can think of the beast that way, that it was Satan's false Messiah. This is who he is presenting. Okay, now what happened to the Messiah? Remember, we celebrate something around Easter. Okay, he was crucified, right? He was killed, died, dead, gone, buried. But then he rose from the dead. So guess what Satan's going to do with the beast? right? A false resurrection. Okay, Jesus gave us some warnings about the Antichrist. Matthew 24:4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am the Messiah. And they shall deceive many." John told us in one of his earlier writings, not too long before he wrote the book of Revelation, he said this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. He said, "Little children, it is the last time." Okay, he was describing, he knew the time was getting close. He said, "It is the last time, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time," or that it's getting close. Okay, and in 1 John 2:22, he said, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son." He gives you a little description of what the Antichrist spirit is going to look like. The Antichrist, see if I can get this point across, the Antichrist spirit is in anyone that attempts to draw people away from the truth of Jesus Christ being the Son of God and being our Lord and Savior. Okay, that's why he said there are already many Antichrists. Don't we have people trying to do that today? There are many Antichrists in the world today trying to lead people away from Jesus Christ. What we're seeing rise up here, that the Antichrist in the end is going to be a culmination of all the wicked, evil, demonic forces all put into one. Okay, so rather than have nasty people that will confront believer Christians and, you know, call you names or persecute you, do whatever, all that wickedness is going to be summed up into one Antichrist. That's how evil and oozing and powerful that is going to come across as. Okay, so let's read a little bit more. I want to get into a little deeper into Revelation 13. Starting in verse 3, John says, "I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There's that 3.5 year period. And verse 6 says, He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Okay, so God will allow, in the last days, Satan to give the appearance of duplicating the resurrection. Okay, that's what we see. The head of the beast, one of the heads of the beast, is mortally wounded. And it gives people the impression that it's not just that one head that was mortally wounded, but that the beast himself was dead. Okay, so it's like, I don't know if you can picture the seven heads, but one of them is slain and like lays limp, right? And so you look and it's still got six more. But the reality is that one that was slain was supposed to be the big one. You know what I mean? It was like, I mean, if the picture that we looked at a minute ago, that picture that guy drew, had a big head of a lion and then smaller heads around it. So picture the big head is the one that got slain. Okay? So people would look at that and think, the beast is dead. But then the beast comes back to life, okay? So when that head comes back, then people start to marvel and they wonder and they're amazed just like they were for Jesus. Okay, the mortal wound is healed. Okay, then the whole world follows after the beast full of wonder, amazement, and admiration. It means that they adore or even worship the beast. Okay, It is supposed that Satan's evil is going to culminate in this final Antichrist, who is going to run an evil world system, and he's going to focus all the powers that he can in every area that he can possibly come up with against Christ followers. Okay, it is that point of, you know, you talk about persecution, I think we're going to get it then, right? The Antichrist is going to take the powers of the government and of religion upon himself. Okay, as a political figure, the Antichrist is going to become so powerful that opposing him is going to seem futile. Okay, anybody ever felt that way with what's happening in our country sometimes? What's the point? It's just going this route. It's going so fast. It's getting bad. Okay, and people tend to throw their hands up saying, I just don't think we can stop this. Right now we're thinking that. When this stuff is happening, it'll be 100 times more obvious, probably more than that. Okay, all the nations on earth are going to be required to serve him. And we don't quite see that yet, right, in our current situation. Opposition against the Antichrist rule is going to be brutally suppressed. Only those who are branded with the beast's mark, showing their loyalty to him, are going to be able to participate in the world's economy. Okay, that's going to be a big clue for us on the mark. Okay, you've heard the scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil. Apply that to what happens here, where if you don't take the mark of Satan's false Messiah, you won't be able to have money or participate in the world's economy. Okay, now that already, that little inkling was enough for me out of this last coronavirus stuff. It's like, whew, how many people do I know that you know, said, well, you know, I've got to have the job or whatever it was, and we kind of gave in. Now, that's not the mark of the beast. I'm just saying that is how easy it is. Imagine if it got to the point where, you know, it's one thing for me to think, I can go without food. You know, I can go a long time, right? I got extra. Okay, but my kids, you know, my family, you know, how long do I want them to go out? So there's that added pressure. Because of love, it is going to be that much harder to be able to withstand during that time. Okay, is anybody cheerful yet? I mean, this is good stuff, right? Okay, the beast wants people to think that his nature and his plans are actually divine. Okay, here's the other side of the deception. The Greek word for antichrist, primarily means instead of. Okay, the antichrist is Satan's substitute for the real anointed one of God. Okay, in other words, the antichrist is probably not going to declare himself as the antichrist. Just the opposite. Jesus told us, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. But that's not true, right? Okay, we know that the Antichrist is going to claim that he is the real Christ. Okay, he's going to claim the real fulfillment of all the prophecies pointing to the coming king and the coming kingdom. Think of, and this is not a slam, but think about the Jewish people that are still waiting for the Messiah to come back. That could get pretty easy. Oh, this is the Messiah we've been waiting for. We told you Christians were wrong, right? This is the one. Okay, the Antichrist might tell you that, you know what? Just forget about Jesus, okay? Because I'm the one you've been looking for. Okay, I'm the real Messiah. Okay, he might come and say, I'm the fulfillment of all the anointed ones, all the Buddhas and the Muhammads and the Jesus and all the founders of the world religions. I am all that summed up into one. Okay, no matter how he comes, what he says, if he touts himself to be the Christ, it is complete blasphemy against God. Okay, God sees it as ultimate blasphemy, claiming to be God. Okay, now using miracles, the Antichrist is going to persuade the world to accept his false teachings. Okay, now Jesus, we know, the book of Acts, man, I love that book, full of miracles, right? And the church was abounding, you know, and the Gospels are full of the miracles of Jesus. There's numerous times of healings and, you know, money in a fish's mouth and bread multiplying and water into wine and lepers healed. And, you know, there's lots of miracles. The devil, the Antichrist, is going to come along and do a lot of things like that. It's going to be like something is magical. Something is, you know, happening. Christians today stand firmly on the belief that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And yet the beast is going to use his counterfeit resurrection to lead others to follow him. Okay, so when we see that happening, that's a big clue, right? Okay, this world ruler that had all these people and dies and comes back, and then we're going to see that the false prophet comes onto the scene, points to that one and says, he died and rose again. Everybody should follow him. Okay, so the false prophet comes along, not to promote God like the prophets did, we read about earlier, but the false prophet comes along and points to the beast that had died and rose again. Okay, people all over the world are going to be astonished, and they're going to follow the Antichrist because they're going to be awed by his power, okay, by his miracles. The Apostle Paul had written this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The ultimate blasphemy. A few verses later, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, Paul said, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, so that they might have been saved. Okay, there's a deception there. The Antichrist is going to do whatever it takes to unite the world under his leadership. Okay, whatever that looks like. And he's going to control the world economy. People are impressed by power. Okay, they're impressed by those that forcefully display their power. Okay, that's where some of the Hitler, Stalin guys, I mean, they would just annihilate, or even generals, people in our own country, whatever, if they carry that persona, that they just annihilate everywhere they go. They carry an authoritative power. Okay, forcefully displaying that or offering that same kind of power to their followers is a great way to get people to follow him. Okay, but those who follow the beast are only going to be fooling themselves. It's going to be very short-lived. His plan is to use his power solely to manipulate people into worshiping and serving him. Okay, he's not trying to benefit them. Okay, like our Lord. That's the flip side. Our God, he loves us. He wants to bless us and cause good things. And so when we walk in the supernatural and we get a word of wisdom, we understand something there's no way we can know, God is not trying to manipulate us. He's just blessing us. He wants us to be able to walk in that because he walked in that. The same with healings and other things. God is into blessing. The devil is into manipulating. Okay, the ultimate goal of the dragon, or Satan, of course, is to draw people away from Jesus to himself. Okay, he's always had that plan. Okay, he wants people's worship. So the people that are impressed by the beast follow him by worshiping him. And ultimately, by worshiping the beast, they're worshiping Satan, because Satan gave him his throne and his power and authority. Okay, now the question that we read a few minutes ago in verse 4 was, who is able to do battle with him? Who is able to defeat him? Okay. It indicated that the deceived people believe that the beast is not only invincible, because he came back to life, but that he is greater than any god, including the Almighty God. Okay, that is that deception that gets a hold of people. Worshipping anything other than Christ, we know, is worshipping Satan. Right? It's idolatry. The beast gains complete governmental control, religious power. And so then when the question comes out, who is like the beast? Okay, have you ever heard that expression before? Only replace the word beast with the Lord. Okay, who is like the Lord? Who is like unto our God? Okay, it's all throughout Psalms. Okay, it's throughout other books of the Bible, Exodus and Micah and other places. It's a parody that the devil plays on to say, who is like unto the beast? Who can fathom this power that this guy has? Okay, and it's a parody. He's lining it up with the way that Christians and believers have worshiped the Almighty God. So the beast opens his mouth in blasphemy against God. Okay, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and all them that dwell in heaven. He blasphemes anything that has to do with God and the Son, Jesus. And because of that, anybody confessing faith in Christ as Lord may result in them being put to death. Okay, now he is said to be only able to persecute for 42 months, okay, 3.5 years, again being the same amount of time that the woman or the church is kept safe and provided for by God. And that tells us that the beast's power is going to be limited. Okay, the Antichrist will establish worldwide dominance that's been given, assumably by God, to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. He's going to demand to be worshipped as God. And as many will worship him, will worship him. And many will worship him, except for the true believers. Okay, now the book of life was mentioned in what we just read. And the Lamb's book of life is a register in heaven of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Okay, only the people whose names are written in that ledger are going to be accepted into heaven. Okay, my name is in the Lamb's book of life. Okay, therefore I know that I have that yet to come. Okay, I want to read a little bit more in Revelation 13, 11. John says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. You know, I told you there was two beasts. This is the false prophet. Okay, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had the power to do it in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. See how he keeps going back to that? He rose from the dead. Worship him. He rose from the dead. Okay, in verse 15 it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. There's a whole lot in that statement. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man may buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let he that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, now I have a picture of the second beast. Okay, the false prophet. Okay, the second beast rose up out of the land. He's able to, he has all the authority and the power of the first beast. He makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. Okay, he spoke like a dragon. He had two horns like a lamb. He was considered to be a super weapon. Okay, very authoritative. He performs great signs, makes fire come down from heaven to the earth in front of the people. The demand is to worship the image of the beast or die. Okay, it's the same example that was given in Daniel chapter 3. We didn't go back and read that. And then 666, it causes all to be marked on the right hand of the forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. Okay, now they talk about the forehead and the hand being your thinker, thought processing kind of stuff, and what you do. Okay, your hand. Okay, so maybe not a literal mark in the forehead and the hand, but it could be what you're thinking and what you do. Okay, now he tries to give the impression of being a lamb who is gentle and caring and full of great love. Okay, but we know that's just an act. Okay, it is probable that the false prophet is going to encourage ecumenical and one ecumenical church. Okay, all faiths come together. Okay, I was at a time a chaplain at the University of Wyoming for an ecumenical ministry, is what they called it, and it was the University Common Ministry was the name of it. And I came in as this evangelical guy and tongue-talking guy and had a good time leading people to Jesus and sharing truths and other things. But it was considered an ecumenical worship or an ecumenical ministry, meaning other faiths. So we had Lutheran guys and Methodists and Catholics. There was all these different guys. They did put their foot down, though, on Mormons. I was pretty happy about that. But it was like a ministry that conglomerated all different faiths together. But their leader, thankfully, was willing to share truth and try to keep it as true to the Word of God and as possible. Okay, well, the false prophet is thought to come and encourage or unify an ecumenical world church, okay, that is going to draw all religions together and make all those religions worship the beast, okay, or the Antichrist, okay, because he's continually pointing to him. Okay, now I have a pic just of the mark of the beast, in case you didn't know what that meant. Okay, the false prophet causes all that follow him, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to take his mark upon them. Okay, it is his substitute for the mark or the seal of God on his children. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by him unto the day of redemption. Okay, the believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit unto God. We are marked for him. Okay, this is the mark that the devil uses. Now, we don't get a lot of details on the nature of the mark of the beast or the method by which it is applied, except that it is the number of his name. Okay, it is clear, though, that once the mark is applied, it is permanent. Okay, that's why it's a once-and-done decision we get to make. Okay, those that accept it will do so because they have rejected Christ and his righteousness and are deceived by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Okay, now economic pressure, of course, is going to help persuade people to take the mark. Okay, the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay. That's where that scripture is going to come into play more than right now today. Okay, we don't think of ourselves as worshiping money, that, oh, I have to have more money. Okay, there are guys like that, right? There's some that just have to keep upping and getting more and more. They got so much they don't know what to do with, but they need more. Okay, there's guys like that right now that probably love money to the point it is extremely evil in their life. But in the last days, it is that love of money that people are thinking, I have to have it to live and survive. Therefore, I'm going to give in and take the mark. Okay, that's that pressure that is going to come. By the means of the mark of the beast, the Antichrist is able to control the economy of the world, for he said that no man or no one could buy or sell without that mark. Okay, the number of the beast is 666. Many Bible scholars, expositors talk about the number 6 being the number of what? Anybody know? Man, right? Mankind. Okay, they also take the number 3 as the number of the Trinity. Okay, so the threefold repetition of 666 could therefore simply mean that the Antichrist is a man who believes he is God, or who declares himself to be God, and a member of a Trinity, which in this case would be the beast, the false prophet, and Satan, okay, or the dragon. Okay, so despite all the horrors of this time of tribulation, here's the good news, right? Got to end on something pretty good. Ultimately, not one believer will be lost because their names are written in the book. Okay, there's only two types of people in time and eternity. There are those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who are written in the book and those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, clearly the people that worship the beast are going to be those whose names are not written in the Book of Life. They're going to have made a choice to reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God and determine to worship the beast. Okay, such people were described earlier by John, we read about a few chapters ago, as those that continued to refused to turn from their evil deeds. Okay, they were given opportunity to repent and turn away from it, but they chose to continue to worship demons and idols, and they just would not repent. Okay, and they Even the ones they said they cried out for the rocks to fall on them. They hid themselves. They did all this stuff, but they wouldn't repent. And that's what God wanted them to do. Okay, that's what all the unleashing of the seals and stuff was about. Now, the last part of the verse that we read in this chapter, it talks about therein lies the faith and patience of the saints. Okay, and that is exactly that. It means that even though there are going to be really trying times, it is our patient endurance and our faith in Jesus Christ that is going to prevail. Okay, the key is just not to relinquish your faith in your Savior because of a fear of lack in the world system. Okay, because that's what's going to happen. Remember that? That stuff with coronavirus and you go into the grocery store and the shelves are bare? You get that thing. It was like a moment. Okay, we learn from that, Christians. Let's learn from that. Because there's things coming that it is going to be like that, only 100 times magnified. And at that point, we're going to say, this is what the Bible talks about in Revelation. This is that fear of that not being able to buy or sell. This is that fear of lack, that not having money stuff. And you're going to see it for what it is. Now, we read about the woman and those that came from the woman, the church. They were swept away by God to a place of safety and provision. Okay, that's the believer's heritage. Okay, so we have a better place than, you know, just the, maybe we'll die. You know, I keep saying, I want to make it to the end. That's my goal. But even if we did, okay, Satan still loses. I still win. Okay, but better than that is to know that in times of extreme persecution, that God can hide his people. That God can spare you, save you, provide for you, protect you. Okay, remember the times when Jesus was on the earth and he's walking along and he made people so mad that they wanted to stone him and throw him off a cliff. And what did he do? Walk right through the midst of them. Okay, because it wasn't the way that God wanted it to work. Okay, and if God's got a different plan, Satan can have all the plans he wants, but his plans are not bigger, better than God. Right, so we know that we have that yet to come. Okay, now, we have kind of a wishy-washy, tender-hearted Christianity in a lot of ways today. And I think that these last days, and especially when it comes to this final decision, okay, is going to weed out those that were just going through the motions. It's going to weed out any that were just playing the game to play the game. Okay, just kind of in it, not really in it to win it, just kind of in it. Okay, and it's going to weed out a lot. Okay, and it's going to separate the goats from the sheep, and it's going to find out, okay, where your eternal life is headed. There is a prize at the end for those that endure unto the end. Okay, that's my goal. Okay, they will receive that prize in the end. So if you need a reason to draw closer to Jesus, if you need a reason to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit better, to learn to obey quicker, better, easier, be more in tune with God than ever before, I think that these last days that are coined ahead of us, okay, is a really good reason to do that. Okay, if for no other reason, learn from what we've been through, learn from where we're at right now, but learn with an anticipation that I'm going to need to know this stuff in the future. I'm going to be tested on it, right? Okay, not by God, but looks like the devil's got a pretty big test he's going to throw at us, and I don't want to fail that one, right? I want to get that answer right and answer it the way God wants me to do it. So praise God. I'm going to end there tonight. That's chapter 13. Next week we get into, give you a little preview, the 144,000. Okay, so we've already talked about them once, but we'll get back into that. We're going to look at the angels. Okay, that God sends some angels, and some of this is going to kind of sound reminiscent of things that we've already read as John kind of retells the visions in different manners. Okay, so let's end with some prayer. Father, we are lifting up our hearts and our minds to you. Father, there's things coming that are so important, so desperately important to our eternal life and salvation. And Father, we know that you're in us right now. We're here because we believe, we've trusted on you, we rely on you as our Savior to lead and guide us, your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, for your power to influence us and to point us in the right direction so that during all these days ahead, that we will make the right decisions, that we will hear clearly, that you will put the words in our mouth to speak. You'll give us the understanding to be able to know when and where and how and why, and maybe not the why, but at least all the other stuff. You'll point us in the right direction that we can go by faith, trusting in you. Your answer from the very beginning of our eternal life and salvation has been by faith, and it's going to be by faith all the way to the end. Lord, you've given us each a measure of faith so that we can endure, so that we can make it. Our eternal life and destination is set on heaven with you, Father. We trust you. Thank you for that. Thanks for opening our eyes. Thanks for keeping us going and giving us some hope and joy this week, Lord, as we continue to share you with others and point others in the right direction as well, Lord. Point them to Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Anybody have prayer requests or things you want to bring up? Okay. Amen. Anybody else have anything you want to pray for tonight or a praise report?